Well, good morning. Well, we are launching this series called Identity. We're going to be in this for the month of November. And so I think it's going to be a great one. We're going to be started off today with talking about labels. You know, when it comes to our identity, that if you're somebody, you've accomplished something significant, you're kind of walking in the room for the first time and you've got this thing and everybody's going to get to know who that is, you could be really excited about your identity. That you could be feeling like, you know, I get to brag a little bit, I get to kind of let it shine, I get to let people know, and it could be, you could be really looking forward to stepping into that room. But if that's not the case, and you're stepping into a room where you're kind of like feeling like I'm kind of uncertain of myself, I'm not even sure I belong, I don't even know if I fit here, that your identity, you can be kind of intimidated by being in there, and you're like going, I'm not sure, and it's just can be kind of heavy on you. If you're somebody, you're kind of confused about your identity, and just going, I don't know really if this is me or if this is not me, and it's kind of hard and difficult to put yourself out there. You know, when it comes to our identity, a lot of us attach our identity and we say, hey, it's our name. And then we go and we just want to let people know what our name is. And so we just kind of put that out there and we go, hey, that's my name. And so for me, my name is Will Deal. I'm reminded of an experience that I had when I was back in college, went to a small school, middle of Texas, Howard Payne University, went there, studied ministry, and I was in a Greek class. And while I was in Greek class hadn't started yet, we're just kind of sitting around, and the person sitting next to me is our valedictorian. Now, I'm sure she was sitting next to me because she kind of was wanting to check her work against mine, I'm sure. But anyway, she's sitting there, and she says to me, she goes, Will Deal. And I said, yes. And she goes, is that your real name? And I was a little puzzled by that. I said, yes. And she immediately responded with, your parents gave you that name? And I said, yes. I think she was thinking there's a story behind it, and this is kind of how I got to this. And I was like, no, they gave me that. And then I told her, I said, and I'm the third one in my family with this name. She was like even more puzzled. So then she looks at me, and she says with a straight face, she goes, what's your last name? And I looked at her and I said, Deal. And she responded quickly and she said, your name is Will Deal Deal? And I said, no, Deal is my last name and Will is my first name. And then somebody else in class ended up explaining to her that they just call me Will Deal. And I don't know, I guess there just isn't enough used car salesmen where I went to school, and they're just thinking, hey, that's a great name. And so everybody would just call me Will Deal. That's just what I was. I was Will Deal. I wasn't Will to very many people. I was Will Deal. And they explained that to her, and she just had the most puzzled look. I can tell you this. I am glad that I got away from that and that people don't call me Will Deal and that people just say, Will, you know, and I probably put myself out there and I'm probably going to get abused now. And some of you guys are going to be taking advantage of that whole knowledge thing that you got now. But you know what it is? Sometimes we just take and we put our name and we attach our name as our identity. But other times it seems like we go through some things in life that we no longer feel like our name is our identity. And we feel like it's our past or we feel like it's our circumstances. And we feel like that is what ends up becoming our identity. And some of us feel like that if we're going to be real and transparent with people, that we've got to put our name out there as our identity as going, I'm a failure. Because we look at where we're at in life, we look at what we've done, we're kind of comparing ourselves to other people, and this is what we feel like. We feel like this is our identity, that I am a failure. Whether it's talking about school and schoolwork and kind of where I'm at and where I really wanted to be, where I thought I should be, and I'm not where I thought I should be, and I just feel like I'm a failure. Whether we're talking about the job and how many jobs that you've had to have because you can't keep a job, and you say, I just feel like a failure. Whether you feel like, you know what, I'm stuck at this level of position in my job and I really thought I'd be at this level by now and I can't seem to get past this, I'm hitting a ceiling, and so you feel like you're a failure. Maybe it's the relationship. Maybe for you that it's a relationship that you kind of look at and you go, this relationship isn't going anywhere. In fact, it's going somewhere, but where it's headed is south. And I feel like a failure. That's my identity. That's who I am. I have failed. Some of us might look at the stage of parenting that we're at, and we're going, I'm a parent now, and we look at some of the choices that our kids are making, and we feel like we're a failure. And that we feel like that becomes our identity, and we can't see past that. We even think as other people look at us, that that's all they can see, and that that's what they see as our identity. Maybe it's not failure. Maybe for you, your identity that when you think about you being a Christ follower and you think, you know, I'm just confused. I'm confused about this whole Jesus thing because really I thought if once I gave my life to Jesus, everything was just going to pan out. Everything was just going to work out. I thought that if I had enough faith and I would just pray that God would come through and he would deliver and this would, but they're still sick. I'm still dealing with what I'm dealing with, and nothing's changing. And I'm just confused because God's supposed to be a God that's supposed to come in and make a difference if I put my faith, my hope, and my trust in him, and yet I've done that, and yet I'm not seeing much different. And so I'm confused. I'm confused about what this whole Christianity thing is all about, and I'm not getting it. And you feel that way when it comes to your faith, and you would say that's your identity. When it comes to your faith, maybe this label is a label that for some would say, no, that's me. I'm broken. I'm broken. They're on the outside, I've got a pretty good facade. I think I've been able to fool a lot of people. But the things that I'm part of, the things that I'm doing, I'm broken. That if people only knew what I was addicted to, if they only knew the drugs that I use, if they only knew how much drinking I do and I really am an alcoholic, if people only knew really how much pornography I looked at, I'm broken. And I know it. Maybe others don't, but I certainly do. Maybe for you, when it comes to broken, it's not so much about the choices that you feel like you've made, but choices that others have made against you. Maybe you've been abused, and you just feel broken. You feel like that's your identity. I'm broken. And that is a heavy identity to be carrying around. It's a label that nobody really wants. Here's another label. I'm afraid. You know who I see this happens to more than anybody else? Control freaks. Because when you no longer feel like you have control, you become afraid. That you're the person, I need to map it out, I need to see the puzzle piece, I need to know where everything's going, and it's all, and as soon as some puzzle pieces are missing, as soon as some things that you can't see happening, and you're like going, I don't know how it's going to turn out, I just don't know, and it makes you feel afraid, and when that begins to happen too many times in your life, it becomes your identity, and I'm just afraid of what's going to happen, I'm afraid of what's going to happen next, I'm afraid of the unknown, and that becomes your identity. And you probably have some people that are close enough to you that see that side of you. Did they certainly see that you are afraid? And that label is a label that's easy to stick. I'm overwhelmed. That maybe that's your identity. And maybe for you, you kind of look at what's happening in life and you look at all the different people that are depending on you and counting on you. And you're going, it's too much for me to keep up with. Maybe for you even, there's people in your lives that one of them's pulling this way and the other one's pulling that way, and you're being pulled in opposite directions and you don't know how to manage it all. And you're going, how can I make everybody happy? And it's, I am overwhelmed. And that for you, waking up in the morning is not a refresher from having a great night's sleep. It's a disappointment because now you have to face the day because you are overwhelmed. So those are some labels, some identities that I think it's easy for some of us to take on, to say that's who I am. And maybe some of us are trying to hide it. We don't want anybody else to see that that's what it is. But yet when we look at ourselves, we go, that's all I see. Maybe you're even afraid that you're going, well, I don't necessarily see myself that way, but I feel like other people in life, they look at me and that's what they see. And that's the burden that you deal with when it comes to identity. But we have these labels and they come at us. And here's the thing. If we would never get a second chance, then we might be stuck with those labels. That if we could never get a second chance in our life, then we might end up being stuck with these labels and having to wear it like a scarlet letter. This badge of shame that we walk around with and people see that is our identity. But the good news is we do get a second chance. And honestly, there is nothing like a second chance. There's nothing like it. What that can do for us is absolutely amazing. And our Heavenly Father is the creator of second chances. It's what He does. It's what He provides. And our God, who is the God of second chances, He wants us to take on a label that if we will receive the second chance that He offers to us, that our identity should be known and understood is, hello, I'm loved. Hello, I am loved. That's my identity. That is who I am. I am somebody who I am loved by my Heavenly Father. I am loved by the Creator God. I am loved by His Son who was sent for me. I am loved. And the God of second chances allows this to become our identity. That this should be who we are. You know what love does? Love covers mistakes. Love covers faults. Love covers failures. Love does this. It's perplexing to me that when we get a look in our New Testament, when we get to read our Bible, that the person who ended up writing something about this was a guy named Peter. Because Peter, as you begin to understand some of the personalities of some of the disciples, you get to read and you get to find out a little bit more of what they're like. You get to begin to see some things. And the things that we see about Peter was Peter is just a gruff guy. He was just gruff. He's kind of a man's man. He's just kind of tough, you know. And that's Peter. But yet Peter wrote something about this thing called love. And it's important for us to grasp this, see this, understand it. It's in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. And this is what Peter wrote. He said, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. Not just love, deep love. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. That's what love does. You know why I think Peter could write about it? Because I think he experienced it. He knew what it was like to receive the love of his risen Savior even after he knew he had failed him. And he knew what it was like. He knew that love covers a multitude of sins. It covers it up and allows us to have a new identity. This is what love does. I want us to look this morning at this idea of the God of second chances. The God of second chances. So there's three things that I want us to look at that I want us to be able to see together when it comes to the God of second chances. The first one is the God of second chances welcomes you in. That's what he does. Did the God of second chances say, come on, come on, come on, come, 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 come on, come on, I'm here and I'm here for you. Come. The God of second chances welcomes us in. I'm pretty excited because next month we're going to be doing something. That we're going to be doing all that we can to say it, spray it, to wheel it, to deal it, to help kids understand and know that they are loved by God and that that can be their identity. See, we're doing this thing. We call it Kids Crazy Christmas Party. It's going to be our third year to do this. And we're going to be doing this, and it's a way for us to be able to help kids know, see, and understand that they are loved. We had over 400 come last year. We had 60 that made a first-time decision to put their faith, their hope, their trust in Jesus last year. And we're even expecting a bigger crowd this year. That was 60 kids last year that got to put on a new identity that said, I am loved. And you know, with that many kids coming, we need some help. We literally need people that are willing to say, I'll help with that. That these elementary and intermediate age kids that are going to be coming onto our campus, we need your help. And so we're going to put something out there that's going to allow you to say, hey, count on me, I'll help. In the seat back pocket in front of you, everybody should have one of these. If you wouldn't mind grabbing that and getting that out. And so if that is a way for you to be able to say, you know what, I'm willing to come and help with that. We're going to be doing that on a Sunday afternoon this year. In the last couple of years, we've done it on Thursday. We're going to be doing it on a Sunday afternoon on December 17th. And there are 15 specific ways that you can be helping, that you can be checking off on, or you can just say, hey, just wherever you need me. But we would love to get your help. And then we want to get as many kids here as possible. And if you haven't signed up your kids, you really should, because if you get them pre-registered, you're going to get them into a drawing where they're going to be able to win an iPad. Yeah, we're like desperate. We'll do anything to get kids here so that we can tell them what Christmas is all about. And that's why we do this. We put on all the fun, bring in all the snow, do all the activities so that we can have a captive audience that we can tell these kids, listen, there is a God. He is the God of second chances, and he welcomes you in. That's why we do it. And we'd love to have your help assisting us as we do this. Well, let's look in John chapter 3, and let's look at this idea of our God of second chances and how he welcomes us in. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Listen, the number one thing that we need to know, that we just kind of cut through it all, the number one thing that everybody in this room and everybody on planet Earth needs to know is that you are loved by God. It's the most important thing that we could know, that you are loved by God. Because when you begin to see that, you can begin to understand who Jesus is and why Jesus came and how you can have a relationship with him. And it starts with knowing that you are loved. That our identity can be redefined when we know that we are loved. It absolutely changes who we are when we know that we are loved. And our God of second chances, He welcomes us in. And He welcomes us in to love us. He welcomes us in to have a relationship with us. This is our God of second chances. A second thing, that the God of second chances welcomes you without prejudice. Without prejudice. There's no sense of, that's what you've done, sorry, not going to welcome you, but, your friend over there. No, there's no prejudice. Look at this verse 17 with me. God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world. Let me just stop there for a moment. You see, some of you guys, you hear that, you're like, oh, yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that about the church. I love that about Jesus. I love that about Christianity. Oh, yeah. There's just no judgment. And that's great. Because Jesus, He didn't come to judge. And it's just that there's this kind of feel good. But that feel good to me is kind of like just slimy. It's kind of like, just get that off. Listen, let's make sure we understand this. That Jesus, He did not come into the world to judge the world. But you know why? Because it's really clear if we were to continue reading a few more verses that we're not going to look at, you have to do this on your own. Because the world had already been judged. He didn't come to judge us because, guess what? We've already been judged. That when we have sin, we've been judged, and all of us have sin. And so we've been judged. Jesus did not come to judge because we've already been judged. He came to offer hope. So it says, God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him. God sent Jesus as the greatest act of love. Sending Jesus was the greatest act of love. Sending His Son, knowing what His Son would have to go through, knowing that His Son would end up taking on the sin of the world, it was the greatest act of love. And God, He's not waiting to love you. He's not waiting to love me until certain improvements are made. Because He loves us without prejudice. He welcomes us without prejudice. He welcomes us all. And it's not, God's not kind of sitting back and going, all right, here's five things. You need to work on at least three of them. And when I see enough progress, then we can talk about my love for you. That's not God. He welcomes us without prejudice. And God's love isn't based on our performance, but on His paternity. His love isn't based on how amazing we are. His love is based on how amazing He is. That it's His paternity. It's Him being our Heavenly Father. It's the position that He holds. This is what causes Him to love us. And we can't be tricked into believing that we have to do some things to earn God's love. Because God could not love us any more than He already does. He could be more pleased with us, with our choices, but He can't love us more than He already does. You know, when we stop running from God, because this is something that we're just so guilty of at times. We just run from God. We're like going, I just want to chase that. I want to have that. I want to experience that. That looks good. I think it's going to feel good. I think I'm going to enjoy it. And we run from God because of what we're running to. And if we would stop long enough, do an about face and look at the God that we've been running from, we would be in touch with what we're missing out on. And I think it would actually cause us to run again, but this time to run to God instead of away from Him. When it comes to that our God of second chance, that He welcomes us without prejudice, I wish that every person that's far from God that interacted with other Christians would never see this thy idea and thought being challenged. Because I think that there are too many well-intended Christians, too many well-intended non-Christians that are even church attenders, that they're too busy passing judgment on people and telling people what's wrong with them, that they're not able to love them. And I think that it's possible for people to love God when they can't stand Christians, because of who Christians are and how they see Christians as people that are just pushing judgment on them. It's not our job to push people away from God. It's what our job is to point people to a loving Heavenly Father and let Him be the one that would convict them of what their choices are. But it's our responsibility to help them see that there is a God who loves them. Now, once they're in and once you're a Christ follower, now you got some room to have some conversation about some choices that might be being made. But short of that, it is a mistake to try and have a conversation about lifestyle choices, behaviors with somebody who is not a Christ follower. Because why would they behave in a way that is honoring God when they don't even necessarily believe in God? They don't even have the power of the Holy Spirit helping them to live to please God at that point in their life. So let's not be people that we're confusing others or that we're pushing people further away from God. Let's make sure that we're being people that once we know that we're loved, that we're helping others see, and you're loved too. The same Heavenly Father that loves me is the same Heavenly Father that loves you. In Colossians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 12 and look at a few of these verses. Since God chose you to be the holy people that He loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That because you've been chosen, because God is loving you, because you've received this, you kind of need to put on, wear this. This is who you need to be. That you need to be people that once you become convinced of who Christ is, that you have tender-hearted mercy. You know, if you were with us last week, I got to share with you that when it comes to spiritual gifts, I'm not on the spectrum when it comes to the gift of mercy. That's not a spiritual gift of mine. But yet, if you do life with me, if you've been around me, I am somebody who I do have mercy. I just don't ooze with it, but I certainly do have it. And see, what we need to do is we need to be putting on these things because we are loved, because this is our identity, that we need to be tenderhearted. We need to be humble. We need to be patient. We need to be kind. These are the things that we must put on. And when we do this, we're helping others to see that our second chance God, our God of second chances, that He welcomes without prejudice. The last one, the God of second chances welcomes you to become brand new in Him. That's what He does. He welcomes you, He welcomes me to become brand new in Him. That this love, it changes everything. Look at this, verse 13. Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. We need to make allowance. What do you need to do? Oh, guess what? You need to be prepared because other people, they're going to have faults. Other people, they're going to hurt you at times. Other people are going to let you down at times. And you need to leave room for that to happen because it is going to happen. And when it happens, forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Then he says, above all, clothe yourself with love. Yeah. It's important to have some mercy. Be tenderhearted with that. It's important for you to have some humility. It's important for you to be kind. It's important for you to be patient. But above all, even more important than that, You need to clothe yourself. You need to put on love. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. This word rule, it actually comes from an athletic word when you break down the Greek. And when you look at that, what you actually see is you see that this is a word that really would be translated this idea of let it officiate, let it umpire, let it referee you in your life. That's what we need to be doing. That we would need to let the peace of God, let it be the umpire over our life. Let it be the referee over our life. Let it be the officiator over our life so that we would love. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, talking about the body of Christ, as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. When this was being written, the guy named Paul's writing this. When this is being written, these are some of the formative books that are being made. There's 27 books in our New Testament. But at the time of early Christianity, after Jesus rose from the dead, and they're passing on this message and sharing this, and people are becoming Christ followers, there wasn't any New Testament scripture for anybody to be reading. So it was important for them to keep spreading that message. And so the way that they would do that is that they would sing songs about that. They would spread that. They would share it. They would sing it together. They would sing it to others. They would even tell the stories of who Jesus is to others. I think that if there was a revision, that if Paul got a chance and said, oh, hey, God, can you give me a second chance when it comes to some of my writings? I think that he would come in with Colossians and he would say, hey, the revision is, and make sure you're looking at the New Testament and reading and discovering and being reminded of who your Heavenly Father is, what your Savior has done for you, and who you should be becoming in him. Last verse 17. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. See that if you're already loved and you know it, you've received it, then you have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to represent God well. To represent him and his love to others. And to do a good job at that. Because we represent him. We need to let others know that we've decided to maximize our second chance. And we need to help them see that if you haven't taken that, it's offered to you as well. That our second chance, God, changes our identity when we become his. That our second chance, God, changes our identity when we become his. And his love covers the multitude of our sins, our faults, and our failures. And our identity is, hello, I am love. And I am loved by the giver of love, the one who is love. And our identity forever changes. See, that's a label that should remind us of how we've been changed. It's a label that should remind us that we should be living life on mission to represent our heavenly Father. We must seize the second chance opportunity. Would you bow your heads with me? I want to ask, is there anybody in here that that you've not seized that opportunity? Are you in here and you go, I've not taken advantage of that. I've not responded to that. I've not taken my opportunity that's being offered to me, but I want to. That if you're somebody that you realize, you recognize today, you go, I've had a lot of labels. That I've had that label of failure. I've had the label of overwhelmed. I've had the label of I'm afraid. You've had these other labels. I'm broken. And that you know that you need a new identity. And your Heavenly Father, He's offering you a brand new identity. That you can be His, that you can be loved, that you can be forgiven, and that He desires to restore you, giving you a second chance so that you can live this life with the way that He has purposed you and designed you to be able to live it. If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand real quick and make eye contact with me and say, that's me. I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you. Is there anybody else? I see you. That would say, I see you. That I need an identity different than what I've been carrying. Is there anybody else? I see you. I see you. I'm going to say a prayer with you. I see you. I'm going to say a prayer with you, and I see you. And I see you. I see you. This is amazing. That your identity is about to be forever changed. That you're going to understand that you are loved. So I'm going to say a prayer. And if this is you making this decision to trust in Jesus, to have your identity forever changed, would you just say this prayer in the silence of your heart to your Heavenly Father? And He's going to hear you and listen to you. Pray this with me right where you are. Heavenly Father, I desperately need a new identity. I just admit to you that I have failures, faults, mistakes. I've sinned. And I need your forgiveness. And the restoration that you offer as well. So today I give you all of me. And I trust you to welcome me in, to welcome me without prejudice, to welcome me with a second chance and make me brand new. Today, I receive this incredible gift of love. And I commit to live my life with gratitude, thankful for who you are and what you've done, as I begin my relationship with you. Jesus, it's in your name. And it's in the work you did on the cross. It's that name, Jesus, that I pray in. Amen. And if that's you, we celebrate that. And we say, welcome to the family of God. Welcome. Listen, we have a gift that we would love to give you. And if you would stop by our Next Step area as we dismiss, we're going to sing out with a song before we dismiss. But if you would stop by our Next Step area and let them know that you made a decision for Jesus today, they would love to put this gift in your hand that's going to help you along this journey. Let's sing out about how our identity in Him can be forever changed.